Morning, Emmanuel.
Morning.
I would like to welcome everyone to this morning service. I would also like to welcome any visitors who are amongst us this morning. Please make yourselves known to me or to the stewards after the service. And also hello to those listening through recording. Hope you feel part of Emmanuel. Reverend Jeff Creed will be leading this morning service, and the prayers of intercession will be led by Liz Gibney. The Bible reader this morning is Jane Pauley. There are two readings that are both coming from the New Testament, the book of Luke. Most of the notices can be found in the weekly news, but I've got one additional. There will be tea and chat on Tuesday next week. But just to remind everyone that when we are coming, we should bring something for the tea, just like cake or something else. I will now light the Christ candle and the peace candle as we remain in silent in preparation for the service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be with you, of course, and you've got me in both places today again, organ and pulpit. Friends, God is in this place. God is within each one of us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And when we leave this place, be assured that God goes with us, for we are never alone. The Holy Spirit is always there, encouraging, supporting, and upholding us. Thanks be to God. Amen. All our hymns today are from Rejoice and Sing, and a great hymn of praise to begin with, number 74, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.
Thank you.
So we come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we come here in the name of Jesus. We come to bow our heads, to lift up our hearts, and to offer you our praise. We come to proclaim you, Jesus Christ, as Lord, and to offer him our commitment in our lives and in the service of others. We come to seek his will, to hear his word, and to receive his blessing. Bless all who worship you throughout this world today. Help us each to feel that we are all one in Christ Jesus. Having praised you, Lord, hear us now in a short time of quiet as we seek your forgiveness for the times when we've not loved as we should, not lived as you would want us to live. And so we've fallen short of your will and purpose for us. Hear us now in the silence. Help us as we worship to recognize that Jesus is here among us. Help us to glimpse your glory through him, to hear his voice through this service, to feel his love through our fellowship together, and to see more clearly where we can serve him in the needs of our world. Help us to bear his name faithfully and live each day to the glory of his name. Amen. And we pray now in the words that Jesus taught his disciples as together we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is number 97, King of Glory, King of Peace. And after the hymn, we will take the offering.
These are gifts of money given this morning, and the other gifts of money that we give in other ways and at other times, and the gifts of our time, to further the work of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And we say the grace together.
May
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Choir now sing the anthem, "I Will Thank Thee, O Lord My God, with My Whole Heart." The words are from Psalm 86, verses 12 and 13, and the music is written by Daniel Purcell.
Two readings, both from the New Testament, and they both come from the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 18. You can find this reading on page 124 of the Bibles in the pews. Jesus teaches about what the kingdom of God is like. Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? And to what should I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree. And the birds of the air made nests in its branches." And again he said, "To what should I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. And now chapter 18, reading from verse 15. People were bringing even infants to Jesus that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they sternly ordered them not to do it. But Jesus called for them and said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I've got to say how lovely it is to have you reading, Jenny. Let us pray. Lord, bless the words I speak and the minds and hearts of all who hear. Amen. Amen. There's a well-known saying which goes something like this: from a tiny acorn the mighty oak doth grow. I'm sure you've heard it before. You've probably quoted it yourself on occasions. It's a very true statement to my mind, because there are many examples that support that saying. Here's just a few that I thought of, and then I checked the facts on the internet, like one does these days. In 1869, John James Sainsbury and his wife Anne opened a very small shop at 173 Drury Lane in Covent Garden, London, selling fresh foods and a few other items. And that very small enterprise went on to become the second largest chain of supermarkets in the United Kingdom, with distribution partnerships in the Middle East and North Africa. And around 200,000 people are now employed by Sainsbury's today, for good or bad. And another well-known store was started in 1884 by a man called Michael Marks, setting up a stall in Leeds Market. And because he was an immigrant and spoke very little English, and he didn't understand English currency either, he adopted the slogan. Does anyone know what it was? "Don't ask the price, it's a penny." So pound shops, you know, they're a direct relation, aren't they, if you think about it, to Marks and Sparks when it first started, because that's who it was, I guess you've guessed, Marks and Spencer. That's just two examples of how small beginnings can absolutely grow into bigger things, with far-reaching outcomes, of course. And here's just one other that I read about. I didn't realise, I don't know about you, that it was a couple by the name of Paddy and Carol Henderson, who live in Salisbury, who started the first food bank in the UK. And they did it from the garden shed and garage, providing 3 days of emergency food to local people that were in crisis. See, people think the cathedral city of Salisbury, there won't be people in crisis, but there are. And you know, it was all because Paddy and Carol had a mum and her 3 children knock their door one evening. This woman knew that the Hendersons had been working with drug-addicted young mums and their starving children in the streets of Bulgaria. And they'd done that for many years. And they were coming back to the UK to try and raise some more funds for their project. And she stood, this woman, with her children at their door, and she said, "Why are you feeding kids overseas when my children are going to be hungry and when they go to bed tonight?" Well, actually, Paddy looked up the facts and decided that something needed to be done. It didn't stop them helping in Bulgaria, I hasten to add. But the simple event marked the beginning of what has now become over 1,800 food banks around the UK, for good or bad again, I have to say. I could go on, and so could you, I'm sure, giving many different examples of how actions by an individual or a very small group has a massive impact on people's lives in the world. In so many different ways that happens, of course. Acorns to oak trees, you could say. You see, when I really stopped to think about it, and probably you could do the same, virtually everything in life starts small and seemingly insignificant, doesn't it? Look at us, human beings. It's hard to believe, I think, I can't grasp this in my mind, that our physical being starts from an embryo stage and grows into what makes us who and what we are today. And then I think, you see, you get the impression that, everything from a health point of view, from science, medicine, often other forms like physics, you look down the end of a microscope at tiny things first before you start to work to find cures or answers to solutions. And in that first short reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 18, Jesus says, "So what do you believe the kingdom of God is like?" You see, Jesus knew very well from conversations he'd had before that the general expectation among his hearers was that the Messiah would come as a great king and leader, freeing the nation from Rome and restoring Israel's former glory. But Jesus says that his kingdom would begin quietly, and that, like the tiny mustard seed grows into an enormous tree, or the spoonful of yeast makes the bread dough double in size, so the kingdom of God would eventually push upward until the whole world was changed for the better. And we can see a similar comparison, I think, used in that second reading from Luke 18, where Jesus is talking to the gathered people, and of course, as was customary in those days, the mums would bring their children to a rabbi for a blessing. And you heard, the disciples were indignant. They thought that the children were not really something that the master should be bothering with at that time. He had far more important things to be doing. And Jesus welcomes those children because he says they're a perfect example of what trust and believing is all about. And it's through trust and belief in Jesus, I think, that faith grows, which in turn enables God's kingdom to grow. To me, the kingdom of God, which we pray for in the Lord's Prayer, is seeking to live by God's rules and not our own. And those rules for living are revealed, of course, we know, in the life and the teachings of Jesus, aren't they? The Jesus who, you've heard it so many times, has time for people who were often rejected by society. The poor, the lepers, the needy, the women who were seen as second-class citizens, not to mention the children, of course. He made a point of spending time with these people, lending a listening ear, a word of encouragement and hope, which some considered to be an absolute waste of time because such people were actually beyond God's redemption, most of them. Not the children, but most of those others, certainly. He also sought to change people's thinking so that it did away with a society which divided people into class and ignored the needs, particularly of the poor, downcast and destitute. In Luke 17, around verse 20, Jesus answers the Pharisees' question as to when the kingdom of God would come. He says, "The kingdom of God is within you and among you. It's not a place or a time. It's not a geographical area that you can go to, or at some point in the future will happen. It's happening now because the kingdom is within you and among you. He's saying that it begins with the working of God's Spirit in people's lives and in relationships. We should feel the presence of the kingdom through how people's hearts and minds react to things and to situations. And we should always, I think, be asking the question, as I was always taught to ask at theological college, where is God in this situation? Is God's will being done? We'd have to agree, of course we would, that if we look at the state of our world, with wars and fighting, with injustice across so many countries, with millions of people being displaced, with destruction of our planet as the Earth's resources continue to be used up at a very rapid rate, and still many are in denial of that, and so many other situations which are too numerous to mention, we'd have to agree, wouldn't we, that the kingdom for which we pray seems still to be a very long way off. But we must never give up, friends. It's in these small acts of love and the kindness of people and organisations working to help make the lives of others better that the kingdom of God can still be effective and continue to grow. Often, I think, without folk realising it. Just think again of names that spring to mind where help is always there and being given. I just listed a few off the top of my head. Christian Aid, Water Aid, Amnesty International, food banks, street pastors that we heard some wonderful news about at the Old Town Partnership of Churches meeting the other night. What's happening in Swindon with street pastors? People for being hosting people from Ukraine in their own homes. We have one in our congregation doing just that. Think of all the work of fair trade over the years and tradecraft and so on. Just a couple of facts to bore you. Did you know that there are around 10 million non-profit organisations worldwide that are offering help, advice and support in all sorts of different ways? Bereavement support, Alcoholics Anonymous, drug abuse clinics, safe houses for battered mums and sometimes dads. Just think of the many charities and individuals who initiate projects, go on charity walks, runs, rock climbing, swimathons, marathons, all to benefit others. Do you know that there are around 16,900 charities in the UK, each doing their thing, often in their own small way, in their local community? To me, friends, this is the kingdom working among us today. Those not of our persuasion might say, no, it's just people doing good works. But then that would please Jesus, because that's what he was all about. Building up the kingdom. In other words, going by rules that are not normally expected of so many of us. All of these things start, so far as I can see, with a thought that leads to an idea and ends in action for the benefit of others. I think it's so easy to give up and give in, thinking that there's nothing we can do about the world's woes. But you know, I do believe that it's those small acts we each perform, of perhaps having time to listen to another person's story, to hold a hand, of being involved in a local charity or fundraising, to make a phone call to someone who needs to know that they are not forgotten. All these, and many others, of course, in their own way, to me, are showing the kingdom of God at work in people and in our world today. Now, I'm going to go back a bit and quote a name But most of you will smile because you're old enough to remember Gracie Fields. She sang a song, "If I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living will not be in vain." That's the kingdom message to me. So when so much around this beautiful world of ours seems to be in a state of hopelessness, the kingdom, I believe, is still amongst us, is still dwelling and working within us, giving us feelings of hopefulness. With the coronation of our king yesterday, we would be saying, and it was said, that we have entered a new era. Well, let that be so for us in our lives as Christians too. Let's help to create a kingdom which, like children, mustard seeds and yeast, seemingly small and insignificant, can help us to grow towards a God-centered life, and in turn, pray God, a God-centered world. Let's help, all of us, to grow acorns into oak trees. Amen. We're going to sing 512, which I think to a large extent is summing up what I've been trying to say. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. After which Liz will lead us in the prayers of intercession.
Thank you. Prayers of intercession today are in two parts. The first prayer I found on the internet and is written specifically for the coronation, and the second part is a more personal intercession specifically for us here at Emmanuel today. Let us pray. In thanksgiving and hope, let us pray to the Lord. For Charles the King and Camilla the Queen Consort, that they may reign with wisdom and grace. Let us pray to the Lord. For all those entrusted with the responsibility of government, that they may lead with vision and discernment, let us pray to the Lord. For the Church of Christ here and across these islands, that we may bear witness to the gospel in our lives and our worship, let us pray to the Lord. For all who are hungry, homeless, and living with poverty, that their needs may not be forgotten, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the world, that hatred, division, and conflict might be things of the past, let us pray to the Lord. Sovereign Lord, hear these prayers, which we offer in thanksgiving and hope. May we, with all your people, ever seek to follow your ways of justice, mercy, and humility until that time when we win the unfading crown of glory. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It is a busy time of year, whether we are royalists or not, whether we have enjoyed the celebrations or have simply sat them out. We pray for our local councils who have just reformed. May they act wisely and with integrity for the benefit of those who elected them. We pray for the country's government. Help them to navigate the never-ending, complex set of issues that evolve and grow every day, week on week, and year on year. May politicians seek long-term solutions with selfless hearts. May they always remember that they are the elected representatives of many and act accordingly with fairness and humility. May they and we remember that we are stewards of this world, and may we seek to find better ways of living. For us, the month of May is a positive time of year. Winter is behind us and the summer is approaching. There are bank holidays, time for outside activities, time for seeing friends and family, time to be busy and time for relaxing. But we remember that for some, it is a tough time. Wars and conflicts appear to take little heed of seasons or times of year. Across the world, we see awful scenes of destruction, aggression, antagonism, greed and hate. We see horrendous pictures from Sudan, where rival factions battle it out for supremacy, regardless of the cost to innocent human lives. In Ukraine, the conflict rages into its second year. For these people and many more, we hope and pray for peaceful resolutions. Help your people to learn to love, not hate, to build rather than destroy, to share rather than hoard, and to live in harmony rather than discordance. We think of those we know who are unwell and struggling with everyday life, for those who are sad or anxious, for those who are in pain, for those who are caring for loved ones. We ask for strength. We bring before you Peter and Mary Beale, Bill and Judith Robertson, Edith Watson, Mike and Hazel Doling, and Catherine McVicar on the passing of Neil. In the silence, we remember others we personally know who are finding life difficult. We remember families who are dealing with challenging issues. We ask for support for those with new families, for those whose lives are not panning out the way they had hoped, for those whose futures are taking unanticipated routes, for those who cannot see the way ahead, and for those who are disappointed. Lord, we know that we cannot go it alone. But sometimes it is hard to truly leave our woes at your feet. We're often too full of ourselves when we need to be emptied and refilled with your love. When things get tough and we feel broken, that is the time when you, O Lord, can come further into our lives. Help us to relax into your love and, like the hymn says, carry everything to God in prayer. We pray for friendships, friendships here and friendships outside the church. Help us to be good friends and to offer love and support, not just to those to whom we are naturally attracted, but to all near and far. We say that we are a welcoming church, but is this really true? We pray that by our choices and decisions, we can welcome all people. May we be inclusive of all comers, regardless of gender, race, nationality, age, or background. Those we meet are simply people, the same as us, just God's people who need the same things in life as you and me. We pray for Robert on his sabbatical. May he return to us invigorated and ready to lead us through his next 3 years, preparing us all for the future, whatever that might bring. We pray for Jeff and Liz as they prepare for their trip away. We pray for the elders who oversee the running of this church, practically and spiritually. We pray for all the visiting preachers who will fill our pulpit over the next few months. May they shed new light into our world as we enter a time of reflection and learning. May we have open hearts and minds and journey together onwards to new beginnings. Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much indeed, Liz. Because we don't have many evening services these days, we're actually not singing so much some of the beautiful evening hymns. And I particularly like this hymn, and I know Liz loves it too, my wife. And I don't see why sometimes we can't sing an evening hymn in the morning. They do this hymn many times at funerals at 10 o'clock in the morning, so why can't we sing it? I think the words are very, very meaningful, and it's set to a wonderful tune anyway. They're particularly meaningful, I think, for any who have friends or family who live many miles away. That includes, of course, myself and Liz, as we travel to America on Tuesday. And I'm sure you can think of other people that you know who live a long way away. And if you know no one, think of all those fellow Christians and all the people throughout the world where, as the sun rises for us, it sets for them. So we're going to sing "The Day Thou Gavest, Lord, Is Ended" at 584, after which Don will give the blessing. Please remain standing to sing those two verses on your little sheet. I've chosen the second verse because I think it's particularly meaningful. And was written especially to this tune for those words of "God Save the King." So we remain standing for the national anthem. But first the hymn.
Gracious God, send us back to the world with your eyes rather than ours. Help us to see not only the bad, but the good. Not simply the ugly, but the beautiful. Not just the worst, but the best. Help us to see around us the seeds of your kingdom and to nurture them lovingly until that day comes when your will is done. And you are all in all. And now may the blessing of God, Creator, Sustainer, and Life-giving, be with us all and all God's people, today and always. Amen.